Well, in the world of work, companies are often like families with unique cultures. Some operate with systems in place that feel like they're set in stone, so change in a changing market is difficult. Others rely on intuition but can't guarantee growth. Roger Martin is the Dean of the Rotman School of Business at the University of Toronto. He's also the author of a new book called The Design of Business, and he joins me on the line now from Toronto. Hello, Mr. Martin.
How are you, Carol?
Very well, thank you. So tell us about these two categories that most companies fall under.
Sure. Most companies tend toward becoming more analytical as they grow. And what they tend to do is analyze past data to try to predict the future, but their ability to predict the future tends to be only consistent with the past because that's the data they're using. The other kind of company uses intuition to imagine the future. So it does look at aspects of the past, but says the future might be different than the past, or we could create a future that is different than the past if we tried. But we can't prove that in advance. And they are willing to use intuition and intuitive thinking as well as analytical thinking.
You've come up with a way of looking at business that combines these two ways of thinking.
Yes, it's what I call design thinking, which combines the best of analytical thinking, which is being data-based and trying to produce a level of reliability that enables you to grow and perform, but also mixing that with intuition that produces something valid, something that you would really want to have rather than something that's simply consistent. And I think the best companies in this modern, fast-changing world will be the ones that, you know, honor both analysis and intuition rather than saying only one is what we should be doing.
You've got words, phrases, mystery, heuristic, algorithm. Explain these concepts. Let's start with the mystery. Give me an example.
Well, I talk about McDonald's in the book. Everybody knows McDonald's. In the 50s, 55, when the McDonald's brothers created the first McDonald's store, they were staring into a mystery in post-war California freeways, beach culture emerging. How do Californians want to eat? And that's a mystery. They could eat in, you know, many sorts of ways. But what they came up with is a heuristic, what I call a heuristic, which is another word for a rule of thumb. Here's how we're going to think about it. We think they'd be interested in a quick service restaurant, one that gets them in and out fast because they're moving around quickly. They don't want to think a whole lot in the restaurant, so we'll narrow down the number of items. We'll focus on hamburgers, french fries, milkshakes, and create a system that'll get people in and out quickly. So that's a way of understanding what was previously a mystery.
And but sometimes companies get so set in these rules of thumb that they can be places that people aren't necessarily the happiest at working.
Well, that is true. I think that's part of the great tensions in the modern economy, because what happened is McDonald Brothers opened five stores. They were massively successful on the basis of this heuristic and sold it to Ray Kroc, who then turned that heuristic into an algorithm, the 57-step process for cooking a hamburger, the processes for picking stores, supply chain management, that kind of turned it all into what I call the next step after mystery heuristic. It's an algorithm. It's an actual formula that says, do these things and you'll get this result. And you're right, Carmel, when people work in a highly algorithmic organization where it says your job is to stand at this counter and when they order a hamburger, move three steps to the right, pick it up, come back, put it on the tray, they're really not using their whole mind, because people are not machines. they want to exercise their knowledge and experience and use their intuition and judgment. So you're right, that's a big challenge.
And not all companies can comply with this formulaic way of operating. In your book, you talk about musicians often getting stuck at the heuristic stage. Tell us about that.
Sure. I think there, you know, science in some sense has advanced in the world, and so lots of things that were mystery, you know, why do things fall down? Well, that's not a mystery. We have gravity, and we know that if we drop something, it'll fall at 9.8 meters per second squared or accelerate at 9.8 meters per second squared. So some things have been taken to algorithms, but many things remain in the world of heuristics. For instance, you know, high-end legal services would be an example. The lawyers down on Bay Street, they don't apply formulae. They apply their judgment and reasoning. You know, the same with many great companies. You know, a great Canadian favorite of mine is Cirque du Soleil. They're not trying to make the circus performance into an algorithm, but they use a heuristic. They say, well, these are the sorts of things that if we do and do well, we'll make people happy and excited to be at a show. So there's a great deal of artistry required. But it's not just random. It's not just, hey, I don't know why people like Cirque's shows, we'll just put on another one. They wouldn't be successful if they left it at a mystery sort of one-off. They've got ways, experts who use their knowledge and their experience and their artistry to make great shows.
For an entrepreneur setting up a business, you talk about a student who was hoping to set up an ethnic food chain, an example of that.
Sure. A great student named Jared, who graduated in 2005 from our Rotman MBA program and stared into the mystery, in some sense, like the McDonald brothers, to say, well, what would be the next ethnic food that North Americans would be game to adopt and you could create a kind of a chain out of? And his view was Indian food. He said, well, you know, North Americans did it with Chinese food, and there are now Chinese food chains. They did it with Mexican food. There are a number of chains, Taco Bell and others, but there hasn't really emerged one in Indian food. There are more individual restaurants. And so he said, could we create a chain? Let's simplify the menu so that people who don't know Indian food can learn it, and it's not kind of overwhelming like an Indian restaurant, a menu in a big Indian restaurant that might be overwhelming to somebody who doesn't
four know or five it, pages.
And let's make it easy and accessible and the like. And he's just in the process of opening his third beta, is what it's called, and he'll have three restaurants in the Toronto area soon, and is growing that. So entrepreneurs do that. They stare into the mystery of how could we do something different, new for folks. They create a heuristic, and Jared's view was a simplified menu, quicker service, kind of friendly in environment to somebody who's not experienced. If I did that, I think something good could happen, and sure enough, it is.
And this is the design of business.
Yes.
Roger Martin, thank you for joining us today.
Carmen, thank you for having me on. It was a pleasure.
I've been speaking with Roger Martin, the Dean of the Rotman School of Business at the University of Toronto, and he is the author of the book, The Design of Business. And we'll have a link to his site on ours at rcinet.ca/English if you'd like to know more about his theories and some of those examples. Sounds like some very interesting reading.